This is Ron Allen, and you are listening to Talkin' Schmidt.
Check, check, bud.
Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Bud.
Oh, we're talking about the BMC. Am I in the tilt mode army?
Just give it the old college try right here.
Oh, big dog's in.
Schmitty! What do you think, Schmitty?
He can just pull shit off.
Talkin' Schmidt.
He's so fucking busy.
Shit my pants, lad.
The Rolodex is fucking deep.
Are you ready?
Come on, Smith.
I'm here for Greg Smith.
Yeah! Hello, everybody. We are back. Talkin' Schmidt, another episode for you. When I started this podcast, actually, I started this podcast out so that I could interview our next guest. Oh. And here we are, East Bay, with Mr. SJ, my Crabtree.
Hello there.
How are you, bud?
Doing great. How are you, sir?
Great.
It's been a month.
Yeah, it's been maybe more than a month.
It's been 18, 19 months. We're like a baby.
Yeah?
Because we go by months, even though it's been a couple years. We're 22 months.
What's going on?
Just sitting here with you in good old West Oakland.
Yeah.
Having some coffee.
The coffee's strong.
Trying to find this song of Dirty and the Donuts that is previously unreleased.
What happened with your arm? You got cast.
I broke my arm skateboarding at Berkeley Skate Park.
Oh.
Yeah, good times. There's a small child nose sliding 30 feet at about 1 mile an hour, somehow making it. Didn't dawn on me that it's pretty waxed. So I'm going to do 5-0, and I'm going to lean back. I'm going to surf it. I'm not going to do it straight. I'm going to be leaning like it's a pool, because that's the only way I really know how to do them. And there I go, whoop, just slid right out. I don't even know if my truck hit or my wheels hit or what, but I did a backflip, put my back arm down, and hurt my wrist. Skated a little more, and like, oh, that hurt. And then that night, it told me it was broken, and I was in anguish. So it took a minute to hit. But
I did some similar at Pinole. Have you been to that one?
Not yet.
That little mini ramp spine.
When I hear Pinole, all I hear think of is the old Woody.
Oh yeah,
the old Woody. Yep.
There's a small, cement spine.
Wait, Spire.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and well, I went with Rob Spire Welsh, and I was trying to do. I was fucking around.
Schmidt flip.
And I zoomed out, did the Schmidt flip right to the wrist.
Oof.
And it didn't break, but it hurt like, ugh.
Yeah.
Rob yelled at me. He was like, don't do that.
Sometimes no breaks hurt more than breaks.
Yeah.
So they say.
Well, let's get a little history. Let's go back way, way back. Exactly. Where were you born and raised?
San Jose, California, Silicon Valley. South Side, South San Jose, Good Samaritan.
That's where you were born?
Yep.
And raised.
Born and raised, San Jose, yes.
You were born in your house?
Luckily.
Or in a hospital?
Hospital, Good Samaritan. Not at the house. My mom was somewhat of a hippie, but not that bad.
When did you get into functioning hippie. Skateboarding?
Oh, man.
Do you remember your first
skateboard? I forgot to remember
skateboard?
That. The first skateboard I had was, it wasn't mine. Someone had moved, and all their stuff was in our garage. And it was Steve Caballero, red with the dragon on the bottom and the oval grip tape with the cutout, the logo. Behind my house was a place called Pine Tree Ramp. I don't know if you guys know that. In San Jose, South San Jose, it was like John Fabricator days. And I think he went to Santa Teresa High School. And there's this huge vert ramp in the back of my house growing up. So I'd go over there and try to skate it, get about 2 feet up. But I just wanted the flat bottom, you know, away from the house.
Yeah.
And it was intimidating. I remember going out and holes in it everywhere, and there's lighters like nailed to the side of the ramp, and I was just like, whoa. And sort of a clubhouse in the bottom. I mean, I was 10, 11, really young. It got demolished, and then I would just tic-tac in my garage in the rain. The first board I actually had was the red plastic banana board. Oh. I lied. Everyone always says this in the interviews. Oh, actually, I had the... It's true, though. But it was a sturdy red urethane wheels, you know, I'm not that old. But that was the first one going down the driveway and turning and making it. No ollie and wrenches or anything yet.
But I think
more people are curious to know, like, that real board, you know? Like, what was your first brand? Like, you
so
know,
then the Caballero wasn't... Caballero. Yeah, that wasn't mine, actually. That was one I found in the garage. I think the guy got mad at me, too. He's like, you're skating my board. I'm like, it's been here for months. You ain't a skater. And I didn't know that, but poser. I'm Ted, no, but it was a Spidey.
Really?
It was a Spidey. Yep.
Was his real name Rick
Demonstrator? I'm the worst, yeah. Something but like those graphics are just right. I could see him right now with the spider, and did it have like safety pins holding something together? And
sick.
Yeah, that one. And then soon after, I had the Lester explosion.
Yep,
Kasai, I had one of those. The blob, yeah. The lava lamp.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I had that one too. Growing up in San Jose, was there just tons of Caballero boards everywhere?
It's weird because I know there wasn't that many graphics, but I just remember everybody had to have a different board in my neighborhood. They didn't want to have, except for the Hosoi Hammerhead, when I remember everyone wanted the Hammerhead.
Right.
But there wasn't tons, but there was tons of Powell boards. Sword and Skull, one guy had the, you know, those were all taken. Bobby got the McGill, so.
Yeah.
Oh, darn. I remember I got my Guerrero with the Flaming Skull. Oh. I was stoked. Then I'm like, now I could ollie. Yeah, higher and kickflip.
Did you ever skate Winchester, or was that gone?
No, I never did. Can't do the math. I don't even know what year it was around, but...
Did you ever go to Cabs Ramp?
Never did, no.
That was before your
I think
time,
my huh? brother did. I think he was friends with them and John Fabricker and stuff. I was just skating street around, you know, and Bali Sahota taught me kickflips.
Who's that?
Bali Sahota.
Oh, yeah.
Madrid Freestyle.
Yeah.
Circle A. I think I go for Circle A. Bali Sahota, Gerby Sahota, Kama the Brothers, they ripped, yeah. Uh-huh. He taught me a lot. Bali Sahota, ask the Roche about Bali Sahota. Okay. He'll tell you about Bali Sahota. Yeah.
Who are the guys you were looking up to when you kind of started getting into skating and knowing like who's who, reading the mags and that kind of stuff?
First picture I ever saw or had, I remember, was Tony Hawk doing a fake ollie on a vert ramp in Hawaii. So I built a little quarter pipe and tried to do some stuff. But, gosh, Ray Barbie, Matt Hensley, all the H Street people. Yeah. There's just so many to remember. I just remember going to the Santa Clara skate camp when I was really young and seeing Mike Trinowski. And we'd seen the H Street videos right before. We roll up and in the skate park and in the street course. Get off the street course! Bing, bing, bing. What? Are you serious? He's talking to us. Like, we made it. There's Trinowski yelling at us just like he did on the video. But Matt Hensley was there, just destroying everything on his way to the store.
Were you in the video getting yelled at?
No, we had seen that video. Oh. That's why we were so amped for him to yell at us to get off the street course, because we were like the Truman Show. Yeah. You know, we were there.
Fuck.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Zarosh was like, I don't know if it was him or not, but he might ask him if he was the guy that got yelled at in Shackle Me Not.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yep, exactly. We could pretend.
What was your first sponsor?
Oh, Ghost Skate?
Oh, really?
Ghost Skate.
Dale Smith?
Oh, God, yes. 25 years
now. I worked for him.
20% restocking fee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever meet his son, Mark? He did Tangerine Turtle.
is that why he wore all the Tangerine Turtle?
Yeah.
Is that? Oh.
Holy shit.
It was Team Lenny. Tim
Brosh. We used to hate that guy. Like, if you had to work Tuesdays, you had to work with Mark, and everyone.
Oh.
I'm not working Tuesdays.
Yeah, that must have been right before I started, and things probably got
different. Well, because I was in San Mateo. Because he had like four stores or five stores, whatever.
Yeah, so, but it was Team Lenny. When you got on the team, he gave you his official ollie patch, and he would drill into your hole, super glue it. He had all these pieces of leather. He had it all hooked up, and like that was your kind of like...
Who is that, Lenny?
Team Lenny, yep.
But that was his name?
He was a Ghost Skate, he was like the Ghost Skate, one of the Ghost Skate guys. Whoa. And he worked at some other place in Morgan Hill after that. But yeah, I think Ghost Skate was my first sponsor. There was Rebate that my friend Roger Hobbs started, but...
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure which was first. So yeah, there's Rebate, Ghost Skate, and then I remember I had a fucked up board and fucked up trucks and everything, and one day Jason's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Come to my house right now. We're going to call Russ or whatever. We're going to get you sponsored by somebody or whatever. I was like, okay. Gershon used to yell at me for not trying to get sponsored and stuff too.
Yeah.
But he called them at Crux, and then so I got on Crux and Speed Wheels
from the kid. Thanks, kid.
That was before Sonic?
Yeah, before Sonic.
Was Sonic the first boards?
Yeah, well, there was the rebate.
Rebate.
Rebate, where, like I said, Roger started rebate, and it was me and Crazy Eddie, and he had this, you know, fun little graphics, transfer graphics of, like, one was the Aunt Jemima bottle. Remember that, when there was, like, all the different logos? And
yeah, yeah.
The fake 7-Elevens, and what was that brand where they're, like, obviously fake, but it was, like, cunts. I wrote for him. He just gave us boards. He just made them out of his house and whatnot. And then I remember Todd Prince wanted to give me Zorlak boards, and I was like, holy shit. And I was super stoked, and I was like, fuck, I can't. Like, I didn't do it, and then I kept writing the rebate boards.
You could have been on the same team as John Gibson.
Oh, I wish. I was on the same team as Sad with...
You were on the team with Sad?
Simple. That was awesome. There was awesome
people. Oh, Simple there. Shoes?
Sergi Trudnowski, even though those shoes were... Ouch.
Mm. And then, so how did you get on to Sonic?
Pretty much, I ran into Simon Woodstock, and he told me I rode for Sonic now, probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't really remember exactly when or why or how, but I would just skate around, and God, did I ride for NC or something at that point? I might have rode for NC at that point, but Simon, you know, told me I rode. He's like, hey, what's up? How you doing? I was like, good. Hey, you write for our company now. It's called Sonic. It's Gavin O'Brien. You know who Corey O'Brien is? I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, start a new company. You're on. I was just like, rad. Okay. You know, I was not. It's crazy how into all knowledge, like their baseball stats and everybody knows right now and all the companies and stuff. Like, I didn't know jack shit for years. Like, I still don't know jack shit about the ins and outs of names of people in the industry or whatever.
Right.
But I definitely knew who... Corey O'Brien was the hero. You know, I grew up skating Skurbs and like seeing those guys just come through and hit a slappy and keep going and never come back. And it's like, oh my God, that's like the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. And when he threw his board on a backside air, it was louder than anything you've heard.
Yeah. And there's that Hensley ramp. I just saw somebody talking about skating the Hensley ramp in San Jose. How it was like, oh shit, you know. I remember skating that Hensley ramp in San Jose and seeing him there, and that was the first time I ever like skated with.
Was that the one that like Jason Jesse had a little thing in his video part on? It was like a mini ramp.
Yeah, and had the extension. Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Rad. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of little ramps around downtown San Jose, and I mean, I lived on the south side, so we would just. But I went to school downtown, so I met a lot of people.
Yeah, just
out there, you know.
Did you go on some tours with Sonic?
Yeah, I went to, me and Nanda Zip went to Australia.
No way.
For a couple weeks. That was really fun. But the main one was with, was it Scarecrow? When it was Jason Adams and Crazy Eddie and me and Wee Man.
Oh,
Nanda
shit.
Zip, Charlie Watts.
Uh-huh.
Simon. Then Dalgart met up with us.
What happened to Dalgard? Is he still in San Jose?
He lives down... He's working for doing skate photos and stuff in Southern California.
Rad.
Yeah, I see him on Instagram and whatnot.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I think he's doing well.
What's the craziest shit you ever saw, like, from Simon? He was known for a variety of...
Oh, the craziest shit. Well, a fun one was when we were going to a demo and we're just in the middle of nowhere... Central Valley somewhere. He's like, we got to go to the store. We got to get lighter fluid and stuff for the barbecue. And it's like, all right, cool, whatever. We go to the store, we come back out. And he's like, okay. We get to the skate park and he stops. I was like, what are we doing? He's like, hold on, I got to start the barbecue. And it's like, we're going to show up with the barbecue going. So like, he pops the trunk, lights the barbecue, gets it going, closes the trunk. And we head into the skate park and there was like a couple hundred kids there. And with the trunk, he had to open it because we were dying. So he opens the trunk and we come rolling in the skate park with this big ass flume of smoke and the barbecue going behind us. And all the kids were super just like, yeah, Simon Woodstock. And he gets right out with the skim board and, you know, it's like.
In the wetsuit?
Does the wetsuit. I don't think he had the wetsuit that day, but doing the egg beater. That's his.
He ollied two of the blocks at Wallenberg on the wetsuit. I think.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I remember being in the drive-thru with Simon. He was always fucking, he's just hilarious. So we're in the drive-thru and I'm like, were in his little Honda. He had this old little Honda, I think, and it was just a piece of shit, and he had the flames painted on the side. So it was a shitty-ass Honda with flames painted on the side. So we're in there, and I'm like, at the drive-thru, Jack in the Box, in the little flaming Honda. And I'm like, dude, do you smell smoke or gas? He's like, yeah, it's you. I was like, oh. I was like, whatever. He's like, what? I'm like, dude, no, seriously, there's smoke or gas, or this thing is smoking. And he's like, it's you. Yeah, you smell like gas or whatever. Next thing I know, boom, the car is on fire. The flaming Honda in the Jack in the Box parking lot. And firefighters are coming, and Simon's just trying to get photos of it. He's so amped. He's like, oh my God, the flaming Honda is like on fire. Perfect.
He was a crazy one. I just saw him at the Vans Combi contest. I didn't recognize him at all. He was on this bike that was made out of only pennies. Like, it was all pennies.
That's his project.
I think he might have been dressed up like a dinosaur or something. I forget. He was in some crazy fur costume.
He didn't have the penny suit? Because that's his
He might
project.
Have had the penny suit.
Yeah, he made a film, The Penny Suit. Okay. Right? And he's got the penny suit and the penny board. And
I didn't know anything about it. Uh-huh. I haven't seen or heard of him in a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's on there in the CyberNet. You can check it out, The Penny Suit, Simon Woodstock. Yeah, well, I remember the time he came to my apartment to do the handrail at Gunnarsson with a bag over my head.
Oh,
that was pretty surprising. I thought he was kidding. He's like, you're going to rail slide the handrail with the bag over your head. And I was like, no, I'm not, but let's go skate anyway. So he cuts these tiny little slits, and fuck, it was I think that's the scariest thing I've ever had to do in my life. Or not had to, but that was one of the scariest skate things.
And actually, speaking of that, was that the same rail you had a something else doing, like a front board with a cast on?
Yep, Gunnarsson High School. It's still skate. I can't believe what people do on it now. But yeah, I had the cast on, and I think who was there? The H Street guys or somebody were there. I go to my school. I live right down the block. No one ever skated there or right there. I mean, people skated around the school. But anyway, H Street was there. Somebody. Oh, it was Dave Graves probably, and maybe Tony Henry. And I had my cast on, and I just fucking had to skate so bad. So that wasn't scary. That was just amped because I seen all my favorite. Not all my favorite, but all these amazing guys are skating and filming right there. So I just wanted to get on the action, and I don't even remember who took the photo or what. And then they were gone, poof, and I was like, wow, that was cool.
It's probably Dalgar, right?
Well, the first time I skated with Tim Brosh was at Gunnarsson in the pit, and Dalgar was there. I met Tim's sister, Christy, first at camp, YMCA camp, which was at Lake Sequoia, which became skate camp.
Right.
At Lake Sequoia, right?
Yeah.
So I met her at skate camp before it was skate camp. She introduced me to Tim. We happened to live right down the street.
Whoa.
Met up with Tim, met Lance and Todd Fair and a bunch of people. But that day I just met Tim and Lance. And they're like, we're going to the pit. I was like, ooh, sounds fucking scary. So we go to the pit. And I was like, oh, that's nothing. And boop, same thing. 5-0 grind. Broke my wrist. Other wrist. Here I am 30 years later, just broke my right wrist. That was the first day I met Tim. But the cast, I had to skate. Like, you know, my mom would get so pissed. Lance still, if I seen him to this day, he would be like, I could still see your mom driving around, you know, with the Mustang looking for you and yelling at you, Mike, get in the car, you know, with the cast on, hobbling to the car, skating in the car. But
so who were the first guys you met in skateboarding that you would call your friends and skate with?
Kevin Ikenes lived across the street. He had a jump ramp. He could do finger flip indie grabs. It was amazing. Bali Sahota. The people who I skated with who are my friends around.
Like, that was before you knew Wes, right?
Yeah, so I was born, like, I grew up on the south side. That was before I met Tim or anybody. Then I moved to the east side where it was Dave Graves and Tony Henry and Devin Sook and this guy Jason Rye took me under his wing and would drive me everywhere. And then, then I went to school with Gershon.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
We had the same classes. So me and Gershon went to school. Gershon like started skating. I remember when he started skating, and I'm pretty sure he ollied up a bus bench on his first day skating. On this giant blank that he designed and barely just cut off the corner. So it was probably like 11 or 12 inches.
Wow.
You know, he liked them big, you know?
Yeah.
So Gershon Mosley. And then Jason knew Dave Graves.
Jason and Adam.
And Dave, Jason Rye, my friend. Oh. So he's like, we're going to Dave Graves. And I knew he was from, you know, 8th Street Dollar on a platter.
Yeah.
In the backside Smith stall, 270 out at the Yerba Buena school. Yeah, that was amazing skating with him because we went to his house, like, hey, what's up? We're going to go skate. And it was those days where I didn't really get it, but, you know, like, not as coming out of, blasting out of his house. That was Dave Graves. Like, boom, out of his house, kick flip down the two steps, whip shove it, 360 whip shove it, big spin, you know, Ronka Niggy style. And I'm just like, oh,
you
my
got your
God, we're skating now. Yeah, I mean, we went to Yerba Buena. I was like, this is where Sal Barbier did this and that. And, you know, it's...
Right.
And there's just, yeah, just skating with so many people on the east side. And Dennis Kakanami, first person I think who like rail slid the Gunderson rail that I saw, the double one. Dennis Kakanami.
That's fucking some knowledge
Ripper.
Right there.
God, there's so many, yeah, just so many good skateboarders. But then I moved back to the south side. That's when I met like Lance and saw like Jason Adams and Solomon, Sean Mandoli.
Oh, yeah.
Love skating with Sean Mandoli. My friend Jay's, Jay's Garage.
Uh-huh.
We had the curbs across the street at the health center, South Bay SBC. That was our crew. It was the dentist.
Huh.
And like I remember like Sattva would show up. And be like, holy shit, what is going on? Like, so, you know, just seeing people here and there. And
yeah.
Before I was sponsored or anything, you know, it was like the Rebate days. And skating with Crazy Eddie, of course. I skated with Crazy Eddie probably, I mean... the most in a certain time frame. Just getting into Tim Brosh.
What's Crazy when I was Eddie lucky. Doing these days?
I don't know. He's living in Phoenix.
In Arizona.
Last in Arizona, yeah. Yeah, I think he's just doing stuff there.
Uh-huh.
I think he's doing pretty well now.
Good.
I think he met a girl.
Phew.
It looks like it. I think he sent me a picture.
Huh. Was so, Montague Banks around still then? Did you ever skate there?
It was.
And
but
like
we were a little
Banks
we were a little
Memorex,
orchard.
Like
Fishbanks was there. Yeah. I remember Fishbanks, but we would skate the metal edge bench out front. And I remember learning Smith grinds, you know, like street Smith grinds at the Anza Banks. And for some reason, I'll never forget the feeling of landing the first Smith grind, walking in and going and then landing.
Oh,
was
yeah.
Better than the first kickflip or anything I ever did. But yeah, the Anza was really fun. Tim
yeah.
used to rip there, I think.
Yeah, we used to take like 4 buses. Somehow we figured out as kids how to get down there from the peninsula, and we'd be like, more buses, we're capped in a 360.
Oh,
like,
you're just like... Well, that was us taking the train to Embarcadero.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember first couple, because I only went there a few times, but first time I went there, Mike Carroll was there, Chico was there, LeVar was skating down the street, like... It was insane.
Yeah.
We were so amped. I remember everybody was skating the one sort of medium long block and just in a big circle of people. And I just kept watching Mike Carroll. I was like, holy shit. Like if he really does do it, it was amazing. And I remember like, I'm going to, you know, we're in a line and like he goes up for something and I'm kind of maybe too close to him. And Mike Carroll comes up like, you know, 180 nose grind something. And then at the end, like, he doesn't make it, and I'm like, oh shit, I might like hit him. Then I go and I'm just gonna crooked grind it past him, and I'm gonna crooked grind past him. And he like looks and he goes, yeah. And I was like, yeah. That was another highlight. Mike Carroll just yeah'd my crooked grind. Oh my God. Let's go look at Hubba.
True or false, you slept in a bed frame with no mattress.
This is true. The pink house in San Jose. Yeah, that was quite a chapter. Yep.
Oh, you were in the pink house for a while.
That,
huh?
Yeah, the bedless frame was in the top of the pink house right next to Jerry Sue, and Wes was upstairs, and Matt Eversall was straight across my room.
That was
Those
the house?
Were good times.
Matt Evs, Wes, you, and Jerry?
That was the top
was
floor.
Was MJ there too?
Yeah, no? So the top was me, Jerry, Wes Tanasha, Matt Eversall, down the stairs to the left. I got Mark Johnson, Joey Digital, and then some couple in and out. But yeah, I was pretty much it. Susie Pugh lived there.
That's a heavy fucking crew.
Southside. Yeah, it was crazy because I wasn't skating at that time, like hardly at all. And, you know, Wes called me up. He's like, dude, you got to move in the pink house. You know, there's someone's moving out. And, like, I was kind of out of the loop, as I usually am. It's like, the pink house? Okay, I had been there once or twice, and I was like, sure, why not? Like, the rent's how much? And it was the very top you know, the ceilings went up from the floor. So you only had like a foot of 8 or 6 foot room to walk around. But there was a, it was a pretty good space, and it was really nice with this big skylights and whatnot. But yeah, it was amazing. I love the pink house. I love living with Jerry because we were both insomniacs, and we would just like, I would be up in the middle of the night, 3 or 4, unless there was a party, which there usually was, but maybe 4 or 5, just shuffling around the house, and he'd be shuffling around the house, and we'd literally like walk by each other, you know, morning Sam, morning Ralph, like, one getting water, whatever, and it's just, I mean, well, the first couple of times we're like, holy shit, dude, what are you doing up? What are you doing up? And then, because we're kind of half awake, we just shuffle past each other.
Right.
But yeah, Jerry would give me good music. He turned me on to a lot of good bands and art, like, he just gave me, he's like, here, I was sad going through relationship issues. He's like, here, this is Leonard Cohen. These are acrylic paints. Here's like, you should paint something and listen to this. And I was like, what? Okay. And I did, and I got it. Like, I still Leonard Cohen, you know, like.
Those guys were like ahead of their time. They were into everything. Like, they were doing art. They were doing photography. They were doing like stuff. And
effortlessly.
And then later, I'd get into it, and I'd get it, and I'd be like, wait, how did you guys figure that out so early?
The youngins.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then Matt was across the hall, and, he, you know, I always loved skating with Mib, Matt in Black, because, you know, he was going through stuff, too. Wes was there. Wes was the party. His room was the party.
Oh, okay.
He'd be black. He lived there with his girlfriend, and, you know, they'd be partying.
What, Halba? No.
Halba didn't live at the Pink House, but he was there a lot.
Okay.
Thank God, I love Halba.
Yeah.
I'll kill you for Halba.
Shout out to Halba.
Shout out.
What were some of your favorite skate spots in like locally?
We skated Gunnarsson a lot. Downey Banks.
Which ones were those?
Just some random curb with a bump. It was really nothing, but for some reason, you know, Long's Curb was the big sesh. Long's Curb in San Jose by Auto Bump, where Jace Adams does like, you know, what is you switchbacks I 180 and the Freddy Krueger sweater or something. Yeah, that was right across from Long's, where Sean Mandoli and Solomon, and, you know, if somebody came into town, like I remember Ron Kanigi skating there, and Slappy Feeble Grinds all day. We had it dug out. It was rounded out. That was a big spot. And then behind there's Metal Edges. Cesar Chavez was a really fun one. Sorry, yeah, Little Orchard Bank. So, yeah, spent Little a lot Orchard. Of time there.
Rad.
And then Palo Alto, and we'd venture out.
Yeah, San Jose's got a lot of... Mm-hmm. A lot. It's a big zone.
It is. It's huge.
Was there stuff like later that you tripped out on? Like once everyone started coming to San Jose and skating, like all the big dogs, and you'd be like, holy fuck, so-and-so did this at that spot.
I think the scariest thing I ever did was Feeble Grind on this handrail, the Cabana rail. It's this teal rail in San Jose. Caswellberry backside, he backlipped it.
Okay.
That was one. That was heavy. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he backside lip slided. And like, no problem, too. And I'm like, okay, it's just a new era, you know?
Yeah.
I was super, you know, I couldn't believe I feeble grinded it. Anyway.
Kaz is gnarly.
I remember seeing people at both of the ramp clubs, like Steve Douglas and Caballero rail slide over. What was it? One, How to Draw the Perfect Line by Steve Caballero. Uh-huh. I think it might be on a PAL video, but it's at the spine at the first San Jose Ramp Club. Jim Namba would skate there. And
did you go to that one?
Yeah, I went there. Ben Schroeder.
Yeah.
I would go there and see Ben Schroeder and be like, oh my God. I'm pretty sure my friend broke his wrist. I remember this dude, Dave, and we go to the ramp club, and Ben Schroeder pops out, and my friend Dave's like, oh, my turn. And he like puts his board in. Ben Schroeder was popping out to do a backside boneless off the wall and come back in. So pops off onto the wall, back boneless. My buddy Dave's there with his board down, click, and he lands straight on top of him and broke his wrist or something. Ooh. And I was like, dude, you just broke Ben Schroeder's wrist. Oh my God.
Ben's so gnarly too. He's a big dude. Yeah,
and it's Spencer Fujimoto. I'd see him skate there a lot, effortlessly ripping.
What about Edward De Vera?
Edward De Vera. Oh, Ed. I love Ed. He's ripping right now. Do you see? I see him just.
I like faded Edward De Vera.
Faded Freddy? Oh, man. Don't call me Faded Freddy, he says. Yeah. Don't call him Faded Freddy. No, I love Edward. I would run into him at the weirdest times, like in the middle of the night. I remember running into him on acid. I don't know if we were both on acid. I can't remember what happened, but we were just in a just some gritty ass place, and we just were, maybe we gave him some, anyway, maybe we shouldn't say that about that. But yeah, I would run into Edward De Vera everywhere, and he was...
I think Edward and Doug Shoemaker were the two guys that I saw the most different rant, like, whoa, you're here, like...
Yeah, Doug Shoemaker is fucking amazing. I love him. I still talk to him. I seen him the other day. I'm going down the street to do laundry. Some guy's like looking at me, and I'm looking at him. I was like, oh, and I know that face. He's like, Krabby! And I'm like, Doug, what? You know, get out of my car in the middle of the street. It's okay, in Oakland, you're allowed to do that. And
yeah.
We're just hugging and talking and this and that. And it's funny because I'm the guy with my car parked in the middle of the street and we're chatting. You see that all the time. But anyway, yeah, I ran into Doug the other day. I just still think about him kick flipping over the double set in San Jose. PG&E.
Uh-huh.
I think it's PG&E.
Right.
Yeah, kick flipping that. And I think the last time I really skated with him was he lip slid that handrail that goes down to the pit in San Francisco, kind of down toward the end. We're just skating. It's been a while, and I'm rusty. And, you know, he's just kind of like popping and just shredding out of nowhere, fearless. It's like, yeah, Dougie's. I love Doug Shoemaker.
He's pretty sick. He was the maker.
Good vibrations.
He was in SF a lot for some reason.
Exactly. He knew that. He knew it in and out, and I didn't know shit. I'd like to skate in there with him, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what was the Crabtree Challenge?
I didn't remember the Crabtree Challenge, but Zarosh reminded me that apparently if you want to rail slide a handrail and you don't know if it's too high or not, I guess this was the 90s.
Yeah.
You put your board up to the top of it, and if it's around the tip of your board, then when you ollie and your tail hits the ground, your nose is already up there. You know what I mean? You just need to get your front wheels over the bar.
Uh-huh.
So anybody should be able, if you can ollie, to rail slide a handrail that's as tall as your board at the top.
Oh.
That's all. I don't remember when I said that, where it is, but Zarosh reminded me of it.
Yeah, he reminded me of it too.
I love Zarosh. He's the one who made me skate again. Not him, but giving me skateboards and meeting Zarosh made me skate again. I probably wouldn't be.
What's that? Platypus, yeah?
Platypus, yep. Sick. He gives me skateboards. For some reason, he writes my name on it and the silk screen on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why, but that's cool. They're free.
Have you done any of the dirt boarding at his house?
Nope.
Ooh.
I did once, and I just saw the recent one. I'm like, oh my God, that looks so amazing. I'm so glad I wasn't there. Because I can't not.
Yeah.
You know, you're a skateboarder. You can't not.
Yeah.
You see a vert ramp, you're going to no stall, tail grab, or try. Yeah. Something's going to happen. No.
I shit so, at Zarosh's.
Yeah. And the other one that just happened.
Yeah, Lincoln City.
It? Yeah. I was watching that. I could not believe what I was seeing. It looked so fun and painful. I wanted to be there when I saw, I'm pretty sure I saw Chet Childress at the bottom. Yeah, just fucking doing his thing. It's like, I do want to be there right next to Chet. You know? Like, I've skated with him a good number of times and hung out with him, and I love him. I remember going to a real fun trip with him up north and Ray Stevens and Ron Whaley. And they destroyed it. And Wes Tanasha and Halba was there and Matt was there.
Sick.
Yeah, but dirtboarding, yes, but not like that. The guy who does the gap to the grind.
Dude, that was insane.
What the? Yeah.
That was so gnarly. And dude, he went for it like 40 times, just eating shit over and over. You're just like, really?
We should make an edit clip. Chris Cole 360 flip Wallenberg. That trick. Chris Cole 360, like, back and forth.
Oh my God.
Which one's gnarlier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Kennedy Warehouses. Both of them you skated, right?
Oh, yes.
Which one?
That's my spawning ground.
Who killed that shit, like, for each
Tim
one?
Tim Brosh. No, Steve Douglas.
Steve Douglas. When I pulled up to the second one, if I heard a tail smack, I knew J.J. Rogers was
J.J.
there.
J.J. Rogers. Wade Spire would skate
there. Yeah, J.J. and Wade would have the loudest tail smacks over that fucking
over
spine.
Over the spine, yep. Yeah. It would echo for sure.
Yeah.
God, those places were both amazing.
The second one was kind of just the first one, but extended.
Yeah, the second one was very extended.
I mean, more just smaller stuff.
The second one was probably like four times as big.
Yeah. Because
it had the vert ramp still, maybe a little wider, maybe the same. and the spine ramp with the extra spine up the wall, and then a full street course ramps going up under the vert ramp, the gap with the parking blocks. That was the funnest thing.
But remember the one off of the there was the roll into the bank to wall or the ramp to wall, and then you come down and there's like a loading dock transition to curb that went down.
Yes.
So that was the first time I ever saw Cardiel.
Oh my God.
And he was trying to do a backflip on it. And we're like, who the fuck is this guy? He was
amateur.
Like,
wow.
I don't think many people like outside of his area knew who he was yet.
Yeah.
And we're just like, who? And then later it's like, oh.
Man, I might have seen him and not known it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember skating with him at the NHS a ramp with him and Tim Brosh, and just, you know, oh my God, this is amazing. Simon took me. Simon Woodstock took me.
Oh, so sick.
I met Cardiel.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, that the new warehouse, that's the spot where I think I got my first board from Jake Phelps.
Oh.
Where for ollieing, I was trying to ollie some gap. There's like three banks, and you can go off to the side. And then all the way to the end, there's a rail slide bar or whatever that went the other way, so you had to go over it. It was kind of far, and I just kept trying to do it. And Jake's like, come on, you got to do it. And I was like, okay. You know, if you do it, I'm going to give you this board. And he held up a Rick Howard board, the skunk root beer board or something like that. So I'm like, yes. And I melon grabbed it, and he gave me my board, and I was so stoked.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then finish the story where you see him years later.
Oh, where last time I saw Jake Phelps was at the Potrero Skate Park. I roll in. I'm just kind of crickety old man. Like, oh, and I was like, oh, there's Andy Rowe and Jake Phelps. He's like, Crabtree. All right, everybody. This is Mike Crabtree, 90s skater. Oh, this is from San Jose. I'm like, what is going on right now? But that's so Jake. I love it. Just, you know, editorial. And so we sit down and I'm like, how's everything? He's like, how you doing? You know, we're actually talking. And I was like, yeah, you gave me my first skateboard at the ramp club for ollieing that thing. And he's like, oh, really? Oh, cool, man. Sick. Tight. Like, yeah, San Jose. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, it was a Rick Howard. And he's like, we're talking whenever. And we look up. He looks up and he's like, holy shit, there's Rick Howard right there. And I was like, what? And we look up and dude starts rolling up. And he's like, oh, it's just Rick McCrank, like two Rick McCrank. Rick McCrank was like, huh? He's like, oh, hey, Rick. He's like, hey. I was like, hi, I'm Mike. So we just started busting up. It was so fucked up.
Holy shit.
But yeah, that was my first board.
Fuck
at
yeah.
The ramp. Oh, man, the ramp club. Paul Sharp.
Uh-huh.
Pierre. Yeah, just so many people rip.
All the San Jose guys, like mm-hmm. Corey would be playing pinball.
Corey would always be playing pinball. Yeah. I forgot about that. Whole other room and all the food and stuff. And they had the lock-ins. That's right.
I never did
We'd
a lock-in.
We do the lock-ins.
You did?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I always wanted to. I think my mom wouldn't let me or something.
I don't know how we did that, but we literally skated all night.
Dude, that sounded... I remember we were always like, we got to do a lock-in. Yeah. And then we had this idea that we were going to get like 20 friends together and do our own lock-in. Like, because if you raised enough money, you could do it by yourself.
Oh, you could rent it out?
Yeah,
for
so we're like, let's get 20 of our friends. We'll all throw in $100 or whatever. It was the big fantasy. We're going to do it. Yeah.
Nope.
Fuck. Oh, yeah. What was the crab flip?
Oh, the crab flip is you put your back foot, you scoot your back foot, so just kind of your toe is on and all your heel and stuff is hanging off.
Uh-huh.
So that when you jump and lift your front foot, it flops over and kind of wants to hit you in the shin. So as it's flopping, it hits you in the shin, you kind of grab it upside down with your back foot and do a 180.
Whoa.
And then kind of flop it back again and land. Or you could do them half cab. Yeah, I just started doing the crab flip again. It's funny because I wanted to, I'm going to get this on film. Like, I'm looking for somebody who's done it or is doing it now because they're doing all these things now.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the crab flip yet. It would look like a front side pressure flip.
Huh.
But it would be like a half flip, half back. And then you could pivot on the nose back around.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Also, yeah, let's talk a little bit about Tim.
Timothy Michael Brosh. Yep.
What can you say about him for people that didn't really know who he was or don't know his legacy?
Oh, man. Tim was he's the realest person I've ever met. Super giving without wanting back, you know. It's just, he was raised right. And he skated like a champion. You know, he was just really good at everything, anything he did. We played a lot of pinball. Yeah, he would always kill it on pinball. He had his, I remember his red Strat. He'd like, check it out, I learned a Mudhoney song. Like, digga digga, was good at that. You know, like his dad, you know, he skated from early on with his dad, I'm pretty sure. And I remember, because his dad was awesome. You know, I think he used to go to the Salt Flats, and his dad used to wind skate. So he'd go to the Salt Flats with a skateboard and get this big ass wind sail and let the wind push him and skate in the desert. Could you imagine that? Like, that just kind of is a barometer of how creative Tim is and how to just go for it all, you know, no half stepping, you know, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, Tim would just pull off everything and anything. You know, they call him Beans, you know, it's like a firecracker, like a Mexican jumping bean. Ding, 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 ding.
He had a lot of energy.
But I think, was it Scotty Greathouse or something? I'm not sure who coined that, but somebody would, you know, describe him as a firecracker, especially on a half pipe. We're like, 50-50, frontside air, frontside disaster, like 3 foot frontside air, 4 foot, you know, he just, till, poof, he just explode and just go blast off into space and he's gone, you know, just come back, whatever, but yeah, that's how I like to remember it.
Shit.
The street, or I remember I had skated with them for a while and we were at Go Skate. We're like, let's just skate the flat ground. And he's like, kickflip, nollie flip, nollie 180 flip, half cab flip. I'm like, oh my God. Because, you know, before then we weren't doing, it was all hurricanes at Gunderson High School. Slappy hurricanes at Gunderson, slappies everywhere, you know, maybe do a kickflip. He could do 360 flips. But I remember the day he just broke out and he could do every single flip trick in a row fast. Him, yep, and I'm, yeah. Karina's just in the truck watching him smiling, and he's just fucking zing, zing, zing.
Yeah, she was rad too. She's still dope.
Yep, yeah. I see her on the media.
Yeah, they used to come. We had a ramp in our backyard, and they would come over a bunch, skate like after hours and at night with the lights and stuff. It was actually Tim McKenney and I were on our way back from Oregon. We stopped at the Redding skate park. And Tim was there.
Ooh, lucky.
And then me, Tim McKenney, and Tim Brock stayed up all night in the van because we spent the night there just talking. And Tim was like, he's like, can I come in and hang with you guys? And me and Tim were like, duh. And
can we hang with you?
Yeah, totally. And then it was like, we just stayed up. And then he passed like a month later, I think.
Oh, man.
It was crazy.
That's like it, good. You got to have like,
he passed soak, on Mother's Day.
Mother's
right?
Day. Yep. You got to soak up some. The raddest Tim thing that I remember, which is this kind of is like such a Tim. So we're at skate camp, the Sequoia one I was talking about. Mm-hmm. But it's everybody from San Jose is there. Mm-hmm. I mean everybody and beyond. Jake, Halba. So it's the middle of the night and you can't get any liquor. Nobody thought to bring liquor, you know, except for of course Tim because he's smart. And it's pitch black. We're on the half pipe, flat bottom, smoking bowls and stuff. And Tim's like, guess what, everybody? Whoop, whoop. And he pulls out a bottle of Captain Morgan.
Oh.
And we're like, he's got a bottle of Captain Morgan. Who in their right mind would pull it out in front of everybody? You know, because we're talking about like, how we're going to get some beers or something and we'll split or whatever. So Tim's like, all right, we're going to pass this around. Literally, there's 20 people on the ramp. I mean, maybe it's 15 because it's exaggeration story time. Literally, but at, you know, we pass, he's like, everybody just take one shot and pass it around, pass it around. It goes around three times. And Tim got like 15, 20 people drunk, like, you know, wine out of water. No, I'm just kidding. No, but like, yeah.
Wow.
Just selfless, you know, and always had a plan. This is funny because thinking about doing this now makes my bones hurt. But every Wednesday at Gunderson, it was late day. So school didn't start at 8, it started at like 9:30. And me and Tim would go anyway. Every Wednesday we'd meet up at Gunderson and do, you know, skate the parking lot for like an hour.
No way.
Because it was late day.
You went to school with them? Those were
the best days. Oh yeah, we went to Gunderson. Oh yeah, we have classes together.
Oh shit.
I remember we had this project together where we had to, oh man, we did so many shady things, but we had to remember the Gettysburg Address or something. And we just held up these, and we're like, we're too nervous. Mrs. DiMaderos. We're like, let's say we're too nervous and we can't do the oral thing and memorize it. She's like, okay, well, we're like, can we film it? She's like, yeah, you could film each other doing it. So we just filmed each other doing, you know, 4 score and 7 years ago. And we have, our eyes are moving. She's like, I see your eyes moving. I'm like, you're busted. But it was the best because we're filming us. But then in the background, we had like a somebody was doing like an alien head popping in and out every once in a while from behind the curtain.
No way.
Yeah.
So that's dope. Amazing. All right, we're going to have to go into the BMC.
Uh-oh. Can we take a break?
Sure.
Okay.
We're going to take a break, actually, and hear from a few of our friends, and we'll be right back.
This is so weird.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden, and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
Blood Wizard. Go to bloodwizard.com and buy some Blood Wizard. This is paid for by Blood Wizard.
Hey, this is Fatty Mac, and you're tuning in to Talking Schmidt. Because if you're going to talk anything, you better talk some Schmidt. Let's get it.
And we are back. I just want to take time to thank all you that support the show. If you're looking to advertise, we're down. But we don't need money or anything. We're going to keep going all year. So the best thing you could do is go to talkingschmidt.com and buy a hat or stickers or tell some friends and support the show. Just, you know, we like to see the numbers increase just like everybody else out there. So that's about that with that. And for that, I'd say... I want to just thank Jezebel for continuing to label us the number one feminist podcast in all of skateboarding. We take pride in that. You know, your brother lived with me for a little while.
I did know that. My brother's...
Whoa. Hold on. Lavalier check. 1, 2. What is this?
Bonjour. Sawadee krap.
So, hola. So, yes, yeah, Scott... Crabtree, brother of
that's
Mike.
My brother,
yeah,
David.
He lived at the
David Scott
original Crib Ramp.
We call him Scoot.
Scoot. That's, we called him Script.
That's how he spelled.
Scrippity or something.
Did
like
he
that.
Spell his name wrong then too?
Yeah, probably.
Scrippity, huh?
Scrippity. He's got a pretty good relationship with Pierre somehow.
Yeah, I think they lived together too at Crib Ramp or somewhere.
Not at Crib Ramp.
Yeah,
I think it must have been before that.
I got the crab wheel. That's the only I have a crab wheel in here. The Spitfire. What is it like? 80mm Pierre crab wheel.
It's really?
One of my prized possessions. I don't have a lot of. I have some boards and stuff, but
yeah,
that's one of my prized possessions. The Pierre wheel. It's huge Spitfire.
Oh man, I got the board.
Oh man,
I love that thing.
I got
it. Says not thanks boards. For support of me, Team Pierre.
Perfect. Yes. Yep.
But what's up with your brother? He's in a band?
He's in a band, Fuzzmaster.
I'm in a band.
We were in a band, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, my brother is in two bands right now. Fuzzmaster. Uh-huh. I just saw him play at Eli's
punk?
In Oakland where I live. Mhm.
Okay.
Good proper punk. I'm really proud of him.
Right. Cuz
you know, he's played a lot of different kinds of music and DJing and whatnot. And he's in his other band, Hot Laundry. With a girl singer and another girl and some guys. It's way mellower, not punk, more like fun. Like, I don't want to say Shannon and the Clams or anything, but you know who they are. It's more like...
Yeah. Indie rock?
It could be indie rock, yeah. But all it's right. Cool, yeah. Okay. He's in a band with a few girls, and I'm in a band with a few girls right now, so I like that. We're kind of like...
And I'm on a podcast that supports all girls.
Good.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be alive.
Right.
And if we were, what would be the point?
Yeah, exactly.
If there was no girls.
Did we get the definition of BMC?
Oh, we're talking about the BMC.
That's what we
did. I don't know. Somebody just told me one day to put my finger on my eyebrow. And then they said, okay, you're in the BMC. And I said, oh, awesome. What's that? It's the Beautiful Men's Club. As I'm sure the kid will describe very thoroughly when you see him, which I think you're going to see the kid.
Yeah.
But BMC is... I think I'm part of it.
Are you?
I think so. Yeah, I am part of it.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a Beautiful Men's
Was
Club.
Was it him and Todd Prince?
Yeah, I think they started it from okay. What, you know, one guy looked at the other guy and said,
or
they said, this guy's a beautiful man. It was somebody else. And said, you know what? You're a beautiful man. Like, no, you're a beautiful man. And Beautiful Men's Club started, and yeah, you'll hear all about it.
All right.
Proud to be a member. Tim Brosh was in there. I don't know who the president is, but...
Huh.
I think Beans is pretty beautiful. They're all beautiful.
Yeah.
You're beautiful.
Aww.
See, you're in.
Did you touch your finger to your?
I'm not in yet.
You just did it.
I'm not in.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever was. Jason, I don't know what I mean. I just want to. I want to be in the. Am I in the tilt mode army?
That was my next question. What's up with TMA?
I don't know. I hope I'm in. I think I'm part of the. I think I'm a private in the tilt mode army.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's the general?
I don't know. Mark? Matt? I think Matt's.
Matt's the.
For me, Matt's the general. Yeah, I think Matt's one of like super motivated human who just gets a lot done naturally. And
were you in those videos?
Yeah, I had some parts. Oh, we had the Room 21 part.
All right.
In the tilt mode, and then I had some.
Were you in
the Vans warehouse stuff? The black and white. Dun 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 dun.
Oh yeah. Those videos.
The Ed Nemeth. Life song.
Matt, yeah, has, so I had some tricks. He used to do it.
Yeah,
definitely. He would put together good videos. Yep. I love the skit where they're filming with the huge fucking
so many good things. Yeah, so much good stuff. And it's fun because I remember taking photos with Simon where he's like, hey, go in this room. And we're going to tape you to the wall with all the red tape because I give him red tape. There's this one where I'm stuck to the wall in red tape, and he did like the tennis ball hit thing, and just fun stuff, creative stuff coming out of San Jose from, you know, as far as I remember. Matt just kept it going, you know.
Right.
It was sick what he wrote for Sonic, and Jason wrote for Sonic, Louis Barletta wrote for Sonic all at the same time. I was like, this is awesome. Like, yeah. You know, just, there was a really short period where, you know, I guess before Joy, where, you know, and the end of Sonic, where we all were together. It's pretty sick. I just have to say thank you first to Gavin O'Brien and Corey O'Brien and Brent and Marburg and everybody at Sonic, because I didn't really think the people who helped me do everything as much as I should have when I was younger, because I had no idea what was going on. So thank you to all you guys.
Wheels of Fortune 411.
Thank exactly, you. Yeah. I filmed a Pro Rookies, 411 Rookie Pro, you know, and I do my part at the end. It's like, I'd like to thank Slappy and Lance Dalgart. Bloop. That was the end. And I was like, they saw Gavin. I was like, what the fuck, dude? You know, he wasn't really mad. He's like, you're just going to say thanks to them? What are you doing? And I'm just messing around. But it made me think, you know, it's true. It's like all those, you got to shout out your friends.
Shout out.
Or you don't have to, but I mean, just show. When you're young, skating, especially when you're sponsored and trying to do things in film, it's like from watching recent podcasts and whatnot, it's like you realize that nobody has really any idea what they're doing when they're younger.
Totally.
They just grow from it, or you don't, you know. Or,
well, what about the people that are older and they don't think they're wives at the Oscars? I've seen that go down. thank you, good night. And the wife's like, wait, what about me?
Yeah, exactly. And my beautiful wife.
I think Michael Douglas has pulled that a few times.
Oops.
And then
Doghouse.
Yeah, whatever. Well, with proper stuff. Thanks have been given. We knew they were going to eventually be given. And today, here on the show.
And thanks to NHS for all that stuff, too. Wrong way.
And thank you guys for listening out there.
Are you?
Are you out there?
Buzz.
Gavin, we might have to go into a faction song here pretty soon. If you're out there listening, call in. Give us permission to play.
AUK, AUK, AUK.
I'd like to think the Let's Get Coke song. Let's go
get Cokes. Anything else?
7-Eleven Big Gulps are the best. Yeah. It's that. It makes me proud because I know it's the 7-Eleven right there off Corrales by Skurbs that he's talking about in that song.
No way.
Plus, like, Ray Stevens. Like, now I've played some music with him, been some bands with him, which what we were talking about. But
right.
It's so dope to know that that's my little spawning ground is what they're talking about.
Do you know whose
culture in San Jose?
Do you know whose bike they were talking about kicking and skate and destroy?
I have nothing.
Kick that bike, skate and destroy.
Who? Mike Hoffman.
Forget that light, skate and destroy. Cops are coming after me. Something in my thinking.
Yes. But are we starting a band again right
Let's
now?
Start a band, bud. Get the fucking guitar out. Let's play a couple songs.
I got them in the back.
We do Firefighter.
You can get the drums and drumming vocalists. I love the way you did the side. Did you do the side mic
sometimes,
when you were drumming?
Sometimes.
The side mic, yep.
Side mic.
You get the profile, the beauty.
And then, DMC. You know, you'd always do that fucking, something would fall over.
Marty would unplug himself.
Yeah. And,
good times.
Yeah, let's get into the music world. Yeah. So who were your early influences when you were growing up? Like, were you AC/DC, obviously?
Oh,
like,
man.
Everybody says fucking AC/DC.
My mom listened to Rolling Stones, The Who, some Led Zeppelin. Actually, I think these were records from my aunt who had passed away. Mm-hmm. So it was all, you know, like Cream and, you know, the rock from back then.
Yeah.
But I didn't, they were just there. I knew, my mom loved Rolling Stones the most. It was just like, it's just so respect about whatever the song. Yeah. I just knew them all, but I wasn't like, I like this. It was just like soundtrack.
Sure.
To my life. And then I thought, I skate now. Like, I didn't see too many videos or anything, but I knew like it was like Surfer Hair. So I'm like, I like the Beach Boys or something. So uh-huh. I listened to the Beach Boys. But what I really started listening to was like Sex Pistols and some, you know, some certain punk rock.
Yeah.
Like
Circle Jerks.
Yeah.
Dead Circle Kennedys. Jerks.
Dead Kennedys a lot.
Black Flag.
Samhain, Black Flag Misfits. A lot. Misfits. But I love Prince.
Prince.
The Purple Rain album.
Oh, yeah.
Holy Tulitzkis.
Yeah.
And I play that tape so often. I don't think I did that publicly or whatever, but Darlin' Nicky.
Yeah. He's one of the best of all time.
I didn't listen to music too much in those days because I would wake up and go skate.
Oh.
Come home. Maybe like we liked the songs on the videos, and that would make us listen to, you know, when I got older, we were listening to like.
Yeah. So what got you into playing?
My good friends, like Jared Malazzo, Brian Vega, Tom Curtis, me, and just way back, we've all gone to school, Matt Gansnyder, they went to different schools, but they always had, like, one guy played drums, Matt played drums, Tom always had a guitar, Jared always had a guitar, and Brian had his bass, you know, and I just met all these people who played music, and wasn't like, we're a band, we're serious, they just had them in their room, and I'd be like, oh, rad, and I'd pick up his guitar,
yeah,
and be like,
just jam,
bling, bling, yeah, like anybody, you know, anybody that picks up guitar and goes ding, 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 has their own song that doesn't suck, you know, it's just their own style, and it's like when you're naive, I feel you can make a lot of cooler stuff than if you know the proper,
yeah,
you know, now that I know if it's a the next note B has to be a B minor or whatever,
yeah,
you know, you get stuck in those rats, but yeah, right. Those guys had stuff around all the time, so Jared Malazzo taught me how to do an E chord, and I had this acoustic guitar that I bought for $10, and it was, the strings were so tight that I held this E, it was burning into my hand, and I didn't want to forget it. It's like, I'm like, I'm going to go. And I skated from his house probably about a half mile holding the E note on the guitar the whole time, skating with acoustic guitar out in the air down the street, holding that, E. Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
Just playing with those guys. And then it would get to where be like, I'd be like, let's jam, let's jam, let's jam. And they'd be like, God, all you want to do is jam, like play music. Why don't you want to hang out and stuff? And, you know, we're drinking beer and partying too, but like, let's go out. Because I used to always want to go out to the bar of the club and the BMC and Tiltmo days. And then it became like, I didn't want to go out. It was like not agoraphobic. You know, my friends would give me shit, but I don't like going out. I'm not super good with tons of people.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's hard when you're skating and you were in Thrash or whatever. People know who you are. Uh-huh. They're like, hey, Crabtree, remember I met you? And you kind of like shut down.
Yeah.
Like a lot of those people thought I was a dick. And I've heard that before. And it's totally, it's not. Well, maybe, you know, everyone's six.
Yeah.
I'm not really, but I just remember being shy and how that, you know, seems to people as that way. But I got way into music with those guys, and then we started a band, Karine A.
What was it?
Karine A.
That was the first band?
K-A-R-I-N-E-A. Yeah, man. I'm pretty sure. And then...
you guys do any recording?
Yeah. Actually, we did. It's on Bandcamp or not Bandcamp, SoundCloud, I believe.
What was one of the songs?
Mazel Tov.
Let's hear Mazel Tov.
Good.
And away we go.
Jump, 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 wow.
a first band.
But yeah, we wanted to be like, we liked, you know, Radiohead, but also all the rock stuff. Bad Brains. We loved Bad Brains. You know, we loved to play punk rock, but we wanted to mix it with more like, you know, Tom's really good guitarist. Could just do like original, you know, it's not like junk at all. He'd always put something
a little more intricate,
melodic or whatnot. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then was the Donuts after that, bud?
I don't know. You tell me. Was it?
Karine A. And then I think so, yeah.
Really?
So I was in this band called Dirty and the Donuts.
So the story goes you were working at Trader Joe's with Marty or something? How did this
Oh, that was weird. Yeah, it's another Phantom Scott, David Scott Crabtree thing. I was working at a grocery store, and I transferred to one in Menlo Park. And this dude comes up, or this guy, it's Marty. He's like, what's up? You're Crabtree? What the fuck? What's up, dude? I know your brother, you know? What the fuck? I used to live with him, or we were in a band, or
yeah,
this and that. And he's like, hey, we're starting a band. You want to be, you know? And I was like, this guy is on fucking fire. Marty is like lit. Yeah. Always. I love him and so much energy. And what am I going to say? Nah, I don't know. No, I was super amped. So, yeah, I met Marty. He knew my brother. He knew you. You and I had met skating,
yeah,
filming with Drehobes.
Yeah, I knew you a little bit.
I was probably nervous because Dan Drehobel was there and he was rippy and I still remember it. But anyhow, yeah, that's how we started. Or I started. You guys already had a basis
before me. We had
before
the band, and Eric moved to Portland.
Yeah.
So we needed a bass player. And Marty was like, I got us a bass player. And he's like, Mike Crabtree. And I was like, what? Sick. And then you came down to the studio one day. Pretty much learned the songs in like a day and a half. I didn't
know what to expect. Well, what's funny is Marty had given me this, not a CD, tape, whatever.
Oh.
It probably was a CD. But I listened to that in my car, my lunches, all the time. And like made notes. And I remember it was like, I was super amped to have kind of a, you know, like a blank, not a blank slate, but, you know, something where I get to make up whatever I want over, you know, this part. But Eric had his, I listened to Eric's parts.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, he would teach me what to do. But then I got to do what I wanted.
Improvise.
Yeah. So I didn't feel like I was just stepping in and like, this is what you're going to play.
You know? No, so it was totally super fun. Free. Yeah. And so the songs became a little different when you came in because you gave your bass lines. It wasn't like you have to play it like this.
It's yeah. Like, everybody's.
No, here's the song. You play whatever you want, bass-wise, it works, you know?
Yeah, even when you play the same thing, everybody has a different style. I saw The Who with Vega on their last show with John Entwistle, the bassist, who's like pretty much our favorite bassist.
Boris the Spider.
Geddy Lee. But same tour, he died. We saw him with the next bassist, Tino Infantino or somebody, and it was good. They did it all right, but it was not even close to... No. Thunderfingers and Twistle. But yeah, everybody has.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Donuts was fucking awesome. We went on tour in Portland, didn't we?
Yeah, Portland, Seattle. We played like three shows on a trip.
The Fun House?
Yeah. What was your, do you remember that period? What was one of the favorite ones? Like, we played the Caravan a few times.
Yeah, that's usually, home base.
That was home base, and, like, so friends would come out, and it was a small bar.
I love the Caravan. That's where
too many people could fill it up. Like
Caravan stories could fill up another hour.
Yeah, and they gave us, like, free drinks all night, I think.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Jason.
Oh, yeah, Megan. Thank you.
They're working at the Quartz Lounge in San Jose now.
Ooh.
They're teamed up again, and they're a powerhouse.
Is Mad Mike in there?
I hope so. Is he Cinnabar?
He was.
Cinnabar. I'd love Mad Mike, too. There's so many people. I love everybody.
Hot Tub.
There's nobody from San Jose.
What's Hot Tub's name? Ashley?
I just found out a picture. I just found a picture of me and Dave that I was about to send him doing the salute. Oh. And we look like we're 12. It's amazing.
Yes.
I'm going to send that to you.
Big love to you guys that came out. Yeah, that was fucking fun. What was your favorite song? Do you remember any song?
Inner Peace, I think.
Inner Peace?
Dun, 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 dun.
I think that was Marty's song. We'll be right back.
Best time that I think I had with the Donuts was recording with Bart.
Oh,
that was
man.
Really fun.
That was
and your voice was doing that a little bit, and we had to like loosen it up with the little brown stuff, and you sounded great. And it was
I had to go a buy process. A bottle of whiskey.
Yep, we did,
because I think, and I've learned this by doing the podcast too, I think I get maybe nervous, like subconsciously. And my throat tightens up.
Yeah,
and
your so, body
you
tells
like
you to.
It's weird, but
yeah.
And it I remember singing, like holding my throat and going like, "Hello, la, la, la."
I have photos of it. I will show you. we should put them on the on
we will.
The thing if there's a if there's a visual thing.
We'll put some photos on the Instagram and the website, talkingschmidt.com. You can go there and see some cool stuff from what we're talking about. But
Inner Peace. Inner Peace was.
I honestly,
all of them were so had their own dance or whatever. They're so original. Like it wasn't like a lot of times in a band and a song comes on, you're like, oh, this one. Like no, they were all really fun. Yeah. Working Man, bud. We did Working Man.
Oh, Rush cover. So, and what was the other cover? English Beat. Save It for Later.
I think I didn't even realize that was a cover for a while.
Oh, really?
Like, you know, I was like, huh, what?
And our versions were pretty hard to distinguish what it was. But yeah, recording with Bart was sick. That was in Oakland or Emeryville. It was over here
Oakland.
Somewhere.
Yeah,
and he's the best. He took us in one afternoon, recorded 6, maybe 7 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And
killed it.
Mastered them and mixed them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Made us sound the best we've ever sounded.
And you know what's funny? After that, Karina got back together again. And we recorded in the same building, but not with Bart, with our friend Elliot,
who's a
genius sound engineer, works for Proper State. He's recording us again right now. But back to the same building, was bringing back memories of.
That's rad.
Yeah.
Fuck yes, yeah. That's practice pad was in Redwood City. Climate Best by Government Test.
Remember when we first Bart? Remember, all right. One rule: when Bart's around, keep it down. The one trying to get my ears blown out from blah blah, which is smart, you know.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
He'd
walk down the
dude.
Hall and get the mono mix.
I thought he was just barely gonna even accept us through the door. Yeah.
I think Scott Crabtree recorded with him with the Grannies, I think.
He was in the Grannies.
Small world, yeah.
Wow.
Another Phantom Crabtree, Scott Crabtree.
Damn.
Yep.
Yeah, so Bart, big love. I know you're listening.
Thank you, sir.
And then what happened after that? Have you played in bands since then?
I was living in Santa Cruz, and I met my friend Chad, who was doing Concussion at the time magazine.
Oh.
You know, Concussion and Jonathan Hay. So it was Jonathan, Honest, drummer, awesome drummer. It was, we played at his house in Santa Cruz, and then Aaron, our other friend Aaron.
Oh.
So yeah, it was the Shunned, it was sick, and I was always busy because of my job, and I remember they're like, we're going to this place in a way out in Carmel Valley, our friend Zarosha's house, and he's starting to build this park, and you know, we're gonna do a show out there and this and that, and I couldn't make that show, and I was so bummed, and then it's funny, later, you know, when I met Zarosha, I was like, oh, and then I went to his
Skate Palace, you know, like Kashawa.
Yeah.
Kashawa, yeah.
Kashawa.
So amazing up there. But yeah, so I was in a band with those guys for a while. Not for super long.
Was there a band after that?
I'm in a band now called Catchlight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's my buddy Clint, my friend Sarah, the drummer's Gracie, the bass player Samantha. Sarah sings and Clint plays guitar too. So we're in the process of recording, or we did record, like I said, with Elliot.
Oh, sick.
The same guy who did the Crene at the same building that you and I did part and whatnot. So, yeah, that should be coming out at some point. But my wrist is broken. I'm in a big cast. You can't see it. Yeah, it's really fun because we're all friends first. You know, we met. I met them where I work. We play once a week if we can, and it's really fun. And Gracie, the drummer, is amazing.
Really?
And she's in a bunch of bands and works, and same with Sarah. She's an amazing vocalist, and you know, we're all...
I know it's hard for you to describe yourself and stuff, but style-wise, what's the new band kind of like?
I've heard that we're kind of like Blondie.
Oh.
Not like Blondie, but they always bring up 80s stuff. Somebody said sort of like The Cure.
Oh.
You know.
A little dancing?
It's kind of up and down, though. You know, we'll turn on the distortion, and then it's like... Jones, and not like Chavez, hardcore, fast, slow, but kind of, you know, it goes up and down, and I don't know. There's,
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of, check it out.
Where you need it to be. I forgot.
Yeah. You play guitar or bass?
Guitar.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Catchlight. Yeah, we got a like an Instagram and all that. Catchlight the band.
Catchlight the band. Mm-hmm. Just got about 5,000 new followers there. The old Talking Schmidt bump.
Crab knuckle.
Knuckles. Where'd that come from?
Crab knuckle. That's my Instagram thing.
Yeah. Who coined that?
I think it was Jai. I would make poor decisions. I would make erratic mistakes. I'm clumsy. I'm really clumsy. Shit like that.
All right. Well, we might have to call Jai and find out.
Let's not bring it up with Jai.
With Jai, yeah.
I bet the kid knows better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pete Koff texted in.
Uh-oh.
And he wants to know.
PK Ripa?
Did LSD get you into needle pointing?
Yes. Wait, what? I've never pointed a needle at anybody, ever.
No?
No.
Have you done
a lot of LSD when I was younger. What comes to mind is we went to the Quartermasters with Team Ghostgate. It was awesome. I forgot about that. We all get in the van, and we drive to Santa Barbara. It's me and Noah and... Noah Baxter, Savage, probably you've seen him on probably Tilt 17 when
I was still skating. In Santa Barbara?
Yeah, we were so stoked. And we were bored, me and Noah, and we went roaming around and we found some acid somehow. And we took acid and we roamed around Santa Barbara. Just everything was melting. And to this day, when you know, every time I talk to him or text, you know, now,
yeah,
media thing, it's always, oh shit, the acid thing. Same with Faded Friend, I'm sorry, with DeFera, he'll always bring up acid.
If you was know. That the first time you took acid? Was when you went to...
No. No, unfortunately, when I was younger, I knew a guy who was like a gangster sort of dude. And he was a gangster. And he had all this acid and people were coming for him and he had to get rid of it. And he's like, just hide these. And I had like 4 sheets of acid. And he's like, you could take one of them, do what you want with it. And, me and Brian would just, we took acid. I remember I took it first and I was at the fair.
Yeah.
In San Jose at the church across from Mike Beans's stomping grounds. And I was flipping out because there was trails and everything. And Brian's like, dude, what's wrong with you? And we were like best friends. And I was like, I took acid. He's like, what? You took acid? He was so pissed. He's like, what the fuck? Without me? I'm like, what? You want to get some? He's like, fuck yeah, I want some. So that was the first time I did. Oh. And I was like, as I was flipping out, I remember I felt so much better. I was like, it's okay that I'm going to ask. Like, he really wants to be, you know, I thought I was being bad, I was just being a kid and he wanted to be a kid.
And you were getting like the tracers and stuff off
big time.
Everything you see.
Well, we started taking them once a day and then you have to take 2 a day and then you have to take 4 the day. And we would fry days in a row. So it would become warm. Yeah, for way too long. I can't believe I'm upright talking to you right now with all the acid I've done and smoked drugs and, you know.
Yeah.
That's a different story. But yeah, we did a lot of acid back then.
Wow. Sure.
Haven't done acid in 20 years, I guess.
Really? So, seems too hard nowadays. Like there's a lot of stress out there that you could have a bad trip easy.
Yeah, that's why they microdose.
Yeah, people.
It's huge around here.
Yeah, it's huge everywhere.
Shrooms are legal now in Oakland.
Joe Rogan talks about it.
That's right, huh?
It's like,
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
Do you listen to podcasts?
No. I don't.
None?
Don't.
What do you do, like, if you're flying or on a long drive or something like that?
If I'm flying...
You listen to music or...
I'll bring it and probably not listen to it.
Oh. You draw or doodle or something?
If I'm flying or just stuff at home?
Yeah. Just with, like, down... Like, I got 5 hours to kill. I'm going to bring a podcast or two. That's me. But what would you do?
I would bring doodling equipment, probably, pen and paper. It's kind of weird on a plane, but it's kind of fun because it's shaking around makes it, you know, fun.
Yeah.
But I'll usually watch whatever movie they have. I don't really bring my media around too much.
Okay.
Now it's always in my pocket, but even still, I'm kind of like.
You got to come up with a Talking Schmidt logo.
What? I'll do it.
A little fucking.
I'll do it. You got it.
What other hobbies do you got going, though?
Right now I've been trying to do a lot of different things. My friend showed me how to do this needle felting thing. It's kind of like a grandma thing, but it's dope. You get wool and you poke it into shapes. And there's a lot of cool.
Is that what Pete's talking about?
Dude, yeah. If you look in the, yeah, I had a show at Pete's Sunset Studio or whatever for a while. My little felt creatures were out there.
Okay.
But if you look on the Juxtapose, there's this lady who does a teddy bear skeleton.
Yeah.
Needle felting. Check that out. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
you know, Juxtapose is out of the Thrasher.
I did. I know. Okay, I'm still waiting for all my magazines to show. No. Yeah. I made a little silly pink bunnies rabbit.
Oh, sick. Needle felt.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite one. Like the one that they took down from
H Street,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Which
I'm going to meet Jeremy next week.
Nice. Somebody told me a story about where that thing really went, and somebody stole it and had it in a warehouse, and then they found it.
I heard some stories.
I can't say, but I thought that was hilarious.
They got it back. Man.
But yeah, I've been doing epoxy resin in just putting random, like, I don't know, a nail or, you know, just some flour, you know, like some sand. And I mean, I do signs for a living, like hand-painted signs.
Oh.
Not hand-painted. I use Poscas and stuff and whatnot, but just for a grocery store. Been skating a lot, actually, but I broke my wrist. So skateboarding, the band takes up a lot of time.
Okay.
I'm kind of addicted to playing my guitar when it's sitting around. Like, I don't not play it at night.
Do you have any recording devices, like a four-track or anything?
I just sold my Tascam 388.
Ooh.
Quarter-inch reel-to-reel to Elliot.
Oh, nice.
Man, I love that thing, but... No, just little apps and stuff, but I just kind of like practice and jam different things to keep up for when I play with the band.
Well, Matt Evs just texted in.
Mib.
He's got a...
MIB? Matt in Black.
He's got a heavy question for you.
Oh, boy, does he.
Who is Chief Muddy Bung of the Never Wipe Tribe?
Never Wipe Tribe. One time at the Pink House, I defecated. Apparently, I didn't... there was no toilet paper in there, so I didn't wipe. That's the only plausible explanation. Matt came into the room and he said, "What the fuck?" I don't know how that happened.
I don't know
happened.
Anything about it.
That would be weird. We must have been out, or maybe. Huh. Maybe I just used his towel. I probably just used his face cloth. Oh my God, I'm going to tell him. Matt.
You got a Matt Evers story?
If he wants to ask me that, God, yeah, I think I drank too much at the Pink House. We all did. But one time I came home from the bar and I was like, someone had done something. I don't get angry or destroy things when I'm mad at all, but somebody did something and it just was fun. It looked fun. I think it was Mark, and he probably did it super clean and eloquent, like, you know, broke a bottle in a little thing. He's like, yeah, and it was like, woo. I don't remember, but there was a tape. I think it was Secondhand Smoke, a VHS on the ground. And I was like, yeah, and I like smashed it.
Ooh.
And Matt's like, he was pissed. He's like, what the fuck? That's my fucking secondhand smoke. Fuck. And I was like, and I was like, fuck, what did I do? I was like, I'm sorry, man. I'm like, I don't know. I'm drunk. I'm sorry. He's like, fuck. And he like punched the door, but it broke the glass and he cut a little bit. I felt so bad.
Oh.
Except for it wasn't his. It was Wes's. His was up in his room. So nobody's perfect. I love Matt. He's, yeah.
Well, you've lived on pretty much every side of the bay.
Yeah, I've done a loop around
a lot of areas. What's San your Jose, favorite zone?
San Jose to Boulder Creek to Santa Cruz.
Did you live in Boulder Creek?
To Seaside. Yep.
Sick.
Boulder Creek in
a
way.
I got a cabin up there.
But let's go. Boulder Creek is kind of
home of Justin
Strubing. Oh my God, it's so cool. Yeah, it's just Josh. I remember seeing Josh Mattson all the time out there.
Yeah.
Skating the Ben Lomond Park, ripping. I'm Oakland right now, where I am, feels awesome. Hmm. I love it here.
Good climate.
It's perfect climate. My neighbors are fucking gnarly and nice, and they have my back. And, you know, because sometimes things do happen around here. I'm in West Oakland. It's not crazy or anything, but I love it here. There's so much to skate. There's the Emeryville Park right there.
Yeah.
K-Dubs built the Town Park, and
oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite things in the world, Town Park. You guys, have you heard of that?
Yeah, and Lower Bobs.
Lower Bobs. I haven't skated. I only went a few times, and I had texted Zarosh. I was like, please come and help me skate Lower Bobs. I can't do it by myself. You know, I went, and then the dog was there, and it was acting weird. And
oh, yeah.
Something weird. But yeah, I'm right between, you know, Lower
Do
Bobs.
Do you ever go to Treasure Island?
And Emeryville. Haven't been there. No,
yeah,
I skate Berkeley Park a lot. Team Park, yeah. That was me, Matt, and Matt Halba. And Wes and Vu and like I think Matt Eversall dubbed us Team Park. He was part of it too. But all we would do was skate parks. We go to Modesto. What are we gonna do today? It wasn't like what are we gonna do? It's like which park are we gonna drive to? You know.
Well, we're winding down here. Is there anything else we need to cover?
One time, Simon took there was this awesome time when I met Pat Duffy two times. They were both sick. The first time we were down south and it was Isla Vista Halloween party. Shit. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, fuck, I went.
I was in heaven. I mean, I was like 25, whatever. They blocked the streets. You're walking in and out of houses. And
yeah.
Like, I'm there with Pat Duffy and it was so fun. And I was really nervous and, you know, we're drinking, partying, listening up. And we just like lost each other and then found each other. And there was a bunch of people, you know. But he was just so nice and fun and funny. And I was probably really nervous, but I remember, and then years later, I'm partying in some weird house in downtown San Jose, and I'm in the backyard, and Pat Duffy's there, and he's like, oh my God, Pat Duffy, yeah, dude, like, hey, I'm Mike, you know, do you remember me? He's like, yeah, what's up, how's it going? And I'm just like, he's like, hey, do you know where there's any other parties? Because it was just like a backyard get-together. He's like, yeah, I do, because other Schmitty, Smitty, yeah. You know Schmitty?
Yeah.
He was having a party, and I was like, you want to go to another party? He's like, fuck yeah, dude, let's get out of here. And I was like, rad. Schmitty loves Pat Duffy.
Everyone loves Pat Duffy.
He talked, dude, he loves Primus more than anybody else. Like, really? Completely, yeah. So yeah, I was super stoked. He's super nice. I'm fucking driving him to Schmitty's house and open the door. Smitty, we'll call him Smitty. Open the door and he's like, what's up? He's like, what the hell? And he's like, hey, I'm Pat. And he's like, hey, nice to meet you. And I just remember him like slamming the door, bringing me outside. And he's like, what the fuck? You brought Pat Duffy to my house? You brought Pat Duffy to my house? You did not just bring Pat Duffy. It was a highlight. Right. It was fun. Just, you know, I can relate because when I went to school with Tim Brosh, he's like, we're going to Wade Spire's house in Danville. We're going to skate his ramp. I was like, what? It was me, him, and Lance. And yeah, I got to go to Danville. And I was real small.
Ramp in the garage.
The cool thing is Dalgard went to school. Tim Brosh, Lance Dalgard, Todd Ferrer, like we all went to school there at Gunderson. And Lance took photos.
Yeah.
And there's photos in the yearbook of me and Tim on the same page. People are playing golf. And it was like extreme skateboarding. No and it's way. Tim doing like blasting an air or something at Wade's ramp. And I'm doing like a tail slide or a 5-0, like smaller and under him at Wade Spire's ramp in my yearbook right here. It's
that rules.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wade's the dude. Those guys are so sick.
It's consistent people like that who are just so real, you know. So,
yeah.
There's so many of them and I didn't bring up any of them. I'm sorry. I didn't bring anybody up. No, but you know what I mean? There's so many people and so much shit has gone on. And
totally.
To try to make it a habit to, you know, pay homage or whatever, or at least acknowledge my fortune.
Yeah.
The good fortune that I've had. Not that it's, you know, I wouldn't change anything. And except for, like I said, to like maybe pay more acknowledgement to people who have done good things for me.
Yeah, I think it's important like for everybody to respect the pioneers. Mm-hmm.
The world's moving fast, and I know there's a new clip scrolling down right now, but it's like what people talk about, you know, it's just in and out. Like,
yeah.
It was built on a huge foundation that people did a lot for.
Yeah, it's attention deficit disorder is what it's called.
I had that.
Yeah.
Okay, next.
Did you read that? Next.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what were we talking about? Next.
It's like it causes ADD.
Yeah.
They thought you were born with it, but the way things are now when you're scrolled, the wrinkles in your brain are so small and weak, and there's so many of them that they hog up all your RAM with bullshit. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause,
no, for sure.
All my wrinkles are done. I can't even make any new wrinkles. My short term's pretty bad.
Mine's so bad.
Wait, who are you? No.
It was Monday, and I was like, I don't remember what I did over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck. And I had to like, okay, I got it.
It's like when you wake up and you had a dream, you're like, God.
Yeah.
What? That was an awesome dream. What happened again?
Oh,
it's real.
Yeah. By noon, I don't
remember. Oh, buddy. It's okay.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time out. And
thank you, sir.
With me. This has been fun catching up.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised that you wanted to talk to the old knuckle.
Of course, always. I also want to thank you for joining the band.
Thanks for having me there, too.
Like I want to thank you for bringing the Rush cover song to the band.
Oh, bud.
And I want to end this with... Thank you, Mike Crabtree.
And maybe
thank you guys for listening.
I love you, bud. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talkin' Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow up them charts. All the episodes will always remain free to my listeners, but if you'd like to help support the show, you can do so at our website, talkinschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like stickers, beanies, hats, possibly even a t-shirt. The website has an entire archive of the episodes with extra photos and sometimes even video. If you have personal pics of our Talkin' Schmidt guests, please send them to me at epicallytrife@yahoo.com, and maybe your photo will end up on the site, or better yet, on Talkin' Schmidt's Instagram account. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by me, Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature, and a special shout out goes to my executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
Until next week, this is Talkin' Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Talkin' Schmidt, Talkin' Schmidt, Talkin' Schmidt.